So, being all the way out in New Mexico, how did you get involved with this project?
We have a unique management structure for a federal land management agency, and there's some similarities with Land Between the Lakes that we share. And so our management team took a visit out there to try and understand the similarities and the successes and how we could bring some of those successes back here to New Mexico at the Valles Caldera National Preserve. In the course of that trip and conversations between the two agency management teams, it was apparent that Land Between the Lakes was interested in having a landscape architect work on the scenery management systems guidance document and plan for Land Between the Lakes. And so my supervisor at the time basically said, well, we have someone that we could send out and help you work on the scenery management systems plan and guidance document project. So that's how it, I guess, got started. Land Between the Lakes, in their 2004 Land and Resource Management Plan, which is a result of an environmental impact study that they did in 2004, one of their goals was to have the scenery management systems completed for Land Between the Lakes. So a lot of things just lined up in regards to wanting to accomplish that goal and then having the connection and resource to bring a landscape architect on staff.
And when you came back to help with scenery management, what aspects of LBL scenery stuck out or seemed like they should be the focus of your work?
Well, the Land Between the Lakes landscape is very beautiful, very scenic, and has its own richness and its own sense of place and its own spirit. The limiting factors to scenery potential in comparison, across the board to all other lands within the National Forest Service is its limitation in elevation. There's no real high peaks or, grand relief. So you can't get up high on a vantage point to have unobscured views and vistas. And then the dense hardwood, hickory oak, clusters of pine vegetation in certain areas is restrictive in regards to how far the depth you can see into the landscape. So the scenic quality is reduced. And there's scenic elements like harmony and balance and rhythm and texture and color and all these things play together. So when you start to take away depth of field, you just reduce the number of elements that could create visual diversity. Now, there's some areas where there's thinning and prescribed burning that's going on in regards to management activities will and have helped the view sheds and the scenic quality in the long term at Land Between the Lakes. So, elevation, there's nothing that can be done to try and get an extra 1,000 feet or to try and create a mountain. But the one thing that can be done is trying to open up areas within the woodlands to create visual diversity. And that's one thing that could be done, or is currently being done, I should say. In regards to needs, I mean, every place has its own unique beauty and characteristics. And to try and move that towards a more scenic outcome is the goal. And there's various tools, land management tools, to get there.
And how do you think these changes that are proposed would impact visitors to Land Between the Lakes?
Well, for example, the scenic byway, the trace. Certain times of year, I guess, particularly summertime, that byway is in certain areas just a wall of green. It's so thick in certain areas you might not be able to see more than 10, 15, 20 feet into the woods. And then there's along that byway, there's areas where there's open lands, and those open lands provide visual diversity. Whether the driver along the scenic byway is conscious or subconscious in regards to their visual experience, those open lands create a different visual experience. So, the guests to LBL, the visitors, their experience is really going to be shaped by their five senses, really on a subconscious level. their eyes, which is the dominant one, ears for hearing, you know, and then smell and tactileness and taste. I mean, the more that those senses are stimulated or engaged with the landscape, the richer the memories, the deeper the memories. And ultimately, that will translate into a strong emotional attachment. What that translates into the visitor's experience, if we can create more visual interest along with the built infrastructure to receive the guests so they can pull off their cars and then take a moment to look at a scenic view, that's going to give them more time to visually engage with the landscape. And while they're doing that, they might hear a bird and they might feel the wind or the sun on their skin. And, you know, there's all those other senses that start to come into play. If they can step out of the car and be drawn enough to stand in one place for a long amount of time and just look at a scenic view. And that, well, like I said, leads to strong emotional attachment.
To implement your plan for a more visually appealing LBL, what kind of environmental impact will that have?
Really, the modifications that are suggested, well, the main thing that is suggested is to protect the edge. So the edge meaning an area of transition. So if you do have an open lands area, there's a tree line, and that tree line becomes the edge between open lands where you are fully exposed versus being in the woods where you're not exposed at all. One visual experience is revealing and the other one is concealing. Same with the shoreline. On the shoreline, that edge is very important to protect the transition between the visual experience on open water versus the visual experience in the woodlands. That edge is to be protected visually. What that means is the senior management plan proposes that anywhere from a 100 to 300 meter buffer be considered on those edges so that if there are any future roads or future buildings or infrastructure or utility lines that are going to impact the landscape, that those edges are protected visually. So that's what that's the main goal of the senior management plan. To create visual diversity, there's about 90% of the 170,000 acres is considered woods and forests. That means that only 10% is left. And it's really more like 6 to 8% is left for open lands. The areas where we have most of the public visiting, which would be along the Trace Byway and then 6880 and campgrounds, visitor center, nature station, home place, as people travel along roads to get to those areas and while they're at those areas, that's where the scenery management plan recommends focus and attention for scenic value. Those areas are the areas that would be focused on for opening up more open lands to create visual diversity. So it's not saying that you have 170,000 acres and 90% of it is wooded, and now we need to make 40% of it open land. So nowhere is the scenic management plan recommending large clear cutting of woodlands to create open lands. Now, strategically, where our guests are at, yes. If we can enhance the visual experience in areas where 80% of the guests go, then that would be achieving the goals of trying to create a better experience for our guests and ultimately helping them create a strong emotional attachment to the landscape and to nature and to the environment. And not just land between the lakes, but, to the world, to the earth. So it's a more of a big picture thing.